Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
I guess we're having technical difficulties. Hold on. Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Who's there?
Britt, this is Mark.
This is Sean.
Hello, Sean. Welcome to Your Place Christian Church.
Hi, how's everyone?
Good.
Oh, doing good.
So it's just the three of us right now?
Well, it seems that way.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if something happened.
I believe that it's just the three of us. We're having some technical issues at the moment.
Oh, okay.
Does anybody know where it happened to Dr. Susie?
No, we thought that she'd be on.
I just talked to her. She was talking to James, and they were trying to get things working. And she said she was calling in. I have no idea what's going on.
Okay. I'm going to see if I can send her a quick message.
Well, this is Eric. Have we had a devotion?
No, we haven't.
Nothing
can go
then.
Let's go to the devotion. Brother Brian, are you with us?
I'm with you, sir.
Can you render us a song?
Absolutely. Brother
Brett, do you have a Bible?
Yes.
If you can read the scripture for us.
Okay.
And
Philippians 3:1-11, is that correct?
Yes. Read that and then I'll pray and then we'll look for them to come in and go ahead and get started. So Brother Brian.
All right. Well, those out in Radio Land, we thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules to join us at Your Place Christian Church, where God is exalted and the word is explained.
Amen.
Tonight we'll start off with devotions with a song, scripture, and prayer. A song for tonight would be Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness. Each day, each hour, each minute, you know, God is faithful.
Great is Thy Faithfulness. Oh God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou shouldest not let my compassions, they fail now. that forever will be created with faithfulness. All the weight of thy faithfulness. From morning by morning, the mercy that I see. For all I need is that in heaven provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. The summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sunbeam and stars, and the courses above. Join with all nations and a folk witness to the great faithfulness, mercy, and love. For great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, the mercy I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided.
Amen.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Oh, yeah.
Lord, unto me.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Go ahead, Brother Brett.
You want me to do the prayer?
The scripture?
Yes.
Yeah, I got the scripture.
Yeah, if you could read that, please.
Yeah, this would be Philippians 3, 1-11. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those manipulators of flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks that they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, for as zeal persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death. And so, somehow, attaining to the resurrection from the dead.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's
pray. God, we come before you. We are asking you to be with us, oh God, and to walk with us tonight. We just thank you for being so awesome. And we praise you for Brother Mark as he sang his song and Brother Brett as he did the scripture. You've been so good to us, Lord, and we just right now ask that you be with us as we walk into this Bible study, as we come into this
Amen.
Place where we're walking in the shoes of Paul, from persecutor to more than a conqueror. Help us, oh God, move to being conquerors in Christ. We want to know you, Lord. Help us to see you and to know you. We ask this now. Mm-hmm. Be with our Brother James Nooks as he's leading us through this Bible study. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say, amen.
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 Brother Nooks, we're so excited to have you here tonight to teach us a study for September, Walking in the Shoes of Paul, From Persecutor to More Than a Conqueror. Tonight our text has been read. It's Philippians 3, 1 through 11. And Brother Nooks has put out some really good things for us to do this month. And we're looking at Paul as persecutor tonight, Philippians 3, 1 through 11. Next week, for those of you who are anxious, write it down. Acts 21:39. We'll be talking about the Damascus Road experience. And the following week, on September the 20th, we'll be talking about Paul as the persecuted, Acts 16:16-40. And then finally, the last week in September, we'll be looking at September 27th, the day after my birthday. We'll be talking about Paul, More Than a Conqueror, Romans 8:31-39. Now, the deal is this. We have all this wonderful information to this week. We're asking that you would come on board and call in to the studio. The studio number is 646-478-4932. Or email us at drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. So we'll be looking for you all to join us. And if you forget and want to know the scriptures, you can feel free to go to blogtalkradio.com and look us up under the study of Dr. Nooks and walking in the shoes of Paul. So God be
Amen.
With us tonight, Dr. Nooks, if you're ready. We're ready to go. Let's go. Hello?
Oh, he may be on mute.
Dr. Nooks, are you on mute? Well, I don't know if he's on mute or we dropped him off the call. Are you there, Dr. Nooks? It sounds like I hear rustling. Dr. Nooks? Anyway, we are obviously having some trouble getting him into the studio. Jamie, can you check to make sure he's in the studio and he's accessible?
What's his number?
He should show up at 939 number. Just make sure all the icons are on that side.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you now.
Can you hear me?
We hear you now.
This handset wasn't working, I guess. So I'll just hold the phone here.
Go
oh,
ahead.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Gotta go old school, huh? Gotta go old school.
Yeah. What we
Hello?
He faded.
Yeah, I think he's
he better go back
doing,
to Atlanta.
Yeah, whatever he's doing is not working. Dr. Nooks, take the headset off and just talk.
I don't have a headset on.
Okay.
I don't know what's
going
on.
You're good to go, Dr. Nooks.
That's all
can
right.
You hear
it's
me?
Old,
we can hear you now.
It's the old devil. Come on, Dr. Nooks.
Okay.
We really need to hear this lesson tonight. Come on.
Come on. Okay. Well, what we're trying to do, and I prayed about this, and I thought about Paul's walk, and I thought about the walks that we've had and walks that maybe people are listening to us, the walks that they're having that are listening in. And Paul is a prime example of walking from being a persecutor to being more than a conqueror. He says that we are more than conquerors in Romans 8. So we want to get to the point where we are more than conquerors, but we also want to understand when we are not more than conquerors and we're going through something, that it's not unusual. And also those that we may be ministering to, they may be going through the persecutor stage, or maybe they're on the Damascus Road, or maybe they're being persecuted, and they haven't gotten to the point of feeling like they're more than conquerors. So I wanted us to take a walk with Paul in his shoes, start with being Paul the persecutor. And there are many of us, I think, that follow a pattern of persecution of God's people and God's ways, and sometimes we don't even realize we're doing it. And sometimes we're in the church, and we're anointed by the church and blessed by the church to do things that are not pleasing to God, just as Paul was. So I wanted us to start with Acts chapter 7, and this is the stoning of Stephen. And I want us to start reading at verse 50, Acts chapter 7, verse 50. And I want us to read down.
Did you drop off?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
This is bad. From verse 50 to verse 60 in Acts chapter 7. Can somebody read that for us?
Go ahead.
Did you hear what I said before?
Just go ahead and
read
it. We don't know who you have, so just go ahead and read it.
This is Eric. I got it. Did not make everything in heaven and on earth, you stubborn people. You are heathens at heart and deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? But your ancestors did, and so do you. Name one prophet your ancestors didn't persecute. They even killed the ones who predicted the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah, whom you betrayed and murdered. You deliberately disobeyed God's law, though you received it from the hands of angels. The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusations, and they shook their fists in rage. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily upward in heaven and saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. And he told them, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand." Then they put their hands over their ears to drown out his voice with their shouts. They rushed at him. They dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. The official witnesses took off their coats and laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they stoned him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he fell to his knees, shouting, "Lord, don't charge them with this sin." And with that, he died.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we have a picture here of that young man that they laid their coats at his feet was Saul. Saul was that young man, Paul, at the stoning of Stephen.
Amen.
So we have a picture here of Stephen talking about Jesus. And the religious establishment shouting him down, not wanting to hear what he had to say, and then stoning him to death. Now, Paul was an emissary of the Sanhedrin Council, and he was there at the stoning. What kind of life, what do you think was important to Paul in this case, in this situation?
This is Eric.
Okay.
Dr.
Go ahead.
This is Eric. And one of the things that has always run across my mind is that they thought they were stoning him for right, all the right reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, they thought they were doing God a favor. And so I think what was important to Paul is that Stephen was talking outside of what he had grown up believing and listening to.
Amen.
Not understanding, not truly understanding the scriptures and taking that part that worked for him as the gospel, and the rest of it wasn't. I mean, because they literally thought, from my perspective, and I could be wrong, that they were doing God a favor by stoning Stephen because he was talking nonsense as far as they were concerned.
Blaspheming God, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Dr. Susie.
Yeah.
And how many of us, how many religious sects do that today?
Amen.
All of them.
Well, the thing I wanted to add to that, Brother Eric, this is Dr. Susie, is that how many times have we been in war and killed and massacred and destroyed lives thinking that we're doing it in the name of God? Are we doing that today? What situations
Amen.
Or circumstances do we find that we're doing that right now?
ISIL is one.
Yeah.
Anybody?
Oh, I think ISIL. I think Iraq. I think Afghanistan. I think Pakistan. Because they have a different way of worshiping, a different look, and a different culture. And you know, we in the West want to colonize everyone, unfortunately.
We may not
call it that.
Right. But we have stuff right here at home, though. That's what I'm talking about. What about the homegrown things where people think they're doing stuff according to the Word of God?
You got the skinhead.
We got the KKK. We got the skinhead. We got people who are using the Word of God, thinking that they and believing that they're right. There are people, that group that with the beards that are very, it's a bunch of people today who are still feeling as though when they're doing what they believe according to their religion is right, everybody else is wrong. You know, there was a guy on the internet who said, that there was he had a bullet with BLM on it, meaning Black Lives Matter, for anybody, women and children included, that he might see or suspect of looting, they needed to be shot in the head and killed. So we got people who believe, and they were doing this in the name of their beliefs. You know.
Amen.
So what does that mean for us here in the United States?
This is Mark. I think a lot of people. I think a lot of people do things in the name of their beliefs. I mean, we as Christians do, whether you Sikh or Hindu or Muslim or some of the other religions, we do different things in the belief of our religion. But I think what's critical is recognizing the voice of God. And so
Amen.
Those who may do those things that are adverse to man, adverse to their human man or woman, may have a belief, but that belief may be in a spirit that is not of God. And so
I think, Brother Mark, but Brother Mark, that thinking that it's God—that's the challenge.
Oh, absolutely. I definitely think that's what they truly think is of God. But God is not one of confusion. God is not one that will just kill, just to kill. And I think sometimes there are those of us who get angered, for whatever religion they are in, and they take things in their own hands, or they take a false religion and the beliefs of that false religion and act upon those beliefs. But it's not the Spirit of God, and I think it's incumbent upon us to foremost have a personal relationship with God. And so so when we see a person who is doing something that is not of the of God, that we, one, discern the Spirit that it's not of God, and two, even within ourselves, with that which we do on a regular day basis, we have to ask ourselves, Lord, is this your Spirit? Is this of you? And if this is of you, allow me to walk in your Spirit, with your Spirit, and how you'd have me walk.
Amen. I agree with everything that everyone has said. And what's interesting here is that, and we're going to read the third chapter of Philippians here in a minute. But Paul was a Pharisee, and many of these religious leaders were priests. They were the Sanhedrin Council. These were people that prided themselves in knowing the law. And yet they would sit up and stone an innocent man to death and be justified in it. And in the Ten Commandments it says, thou shalt not kill. And it's, I don't know, we can twist things around to suit our own tradition and our own desires and justify it and hurt people. And it doesn't have to be ISIS, because one denomination can hate another denomination or act like they do, and they're both Christians. And I see this so often that one condemns another so drastically that they don't want to even have anything to do with. You know, we can't fellowship with you because you don't worship like we do, or you don't do this like we do, or you don't do that like we do. And the world sees this. Two Christian denominations can't get along with each other, and yet we talk about the love of God. So we persecute each other. And even if you are in our denomination and you don't act in the way that we feel you should sometimes, we persecute our own people. The church is where we should be getting uplifted, but many times we go to church and we walk away feeling beaten down. So it's that beating that we take, that Stephen took, that we want to talk about here. And Paul talks about it because he did some of the beating.
All right.
This is Eric, and you're absolutely right. But I think I want to add this, and for topic of discussion, because Brother Brian is absolutely right. You know, we need to check that and see if that discern if that's the Spirit of God and all that. But what I think I also understand is that while we're doing that, we also then need to ask the Lord to intervene in their life, because we can have that conversation with them, which means they're probably not going to receive it. Because it took a special meeting with Jesus on Paul, which we'll get into next week. But we've got to also be mindful to make sure that we're asking the Lord to intervene in those individuals' lives so that they may glean the truth.
Amen. All right.
Amen.
And you know what? This is Dr. Susie. You know, the hard part about that is, Brother Eric, is everybody thinks they got the truth. You know, everybody thinks they got the truth. A church and I had a misconception about what my covenant said, and people didn't want to pay and do what they need to do because they have a perception of the truth. I have a perception of the truth. We got a contract, and we're still trying to perceive what truth is. So, I mean, these perceptions that we have about truth become really problematic as we begin to work together to try to discern, as you said, and hear God's voice. And I think that's the biggest issue is instead of us consulting God, we're trying to operate in what we hear. And I think the biggest part of the problem is we're not listening to hear the voice of God. As if they don't, some people don't even believe, oh, you really think you're going to hear God? Yes. If we would be prayerful, sit down and listen, we could hear God talk to us. And it's not just what we think of ourselves. And I think that's as we operating too much on our own and not tuned in through the relationship that we have with God. And so I don't know.
I would agree.
Amen.
I absolutely agree.
Amen. You remember in the text we were just reading about where the people that were stoning Stephen shouted him down. They didn't want to hear his voice. And that's really significant, you know, to what Mark was saying. We don't want to hear the voice of God. When people get angry and they get upset, they don't want to hear God saying, you need to love your brother. Because it feels good being angry. I mean, we get caught up in it. And then we feel justified, you know, in being angry and being mean and being nasty. And God is saying that we shouldn't be that way. They didn't want to hear the voice of Stephen. They shouted him down. And that's the way we are many times. And those that are listening in, we want you to understand that is not the way that God wants us to act. Some of times we act that way, but that's not the way we should be acting.
Amen.
So we want to look at... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying, Dr. Noakes, absolutely, and he wants us to be as Stephen was, and every time I read that, I'm like, that is, you know, don't count this against them, Lord. They're killing me, I'm innocent, but don't count this against them. That's pretty tough.
Amen. Amen. That's the precursor to Jesus saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
They know not what they do, yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we want to take a further look.
Well, God's working on me because I'm not there, but yeah, Brother Eric.
Hey, Dr. Susie, I don't know that many of us are. I know what you've been dealing with, and I got my own. Every day I got to look at a lady who has written nasty letters about me, have said things that are definitely not true, accused me of cheating on my wife, and I got to look at her face every day and smile and try to work with her. And it's tough. I ain't gonna lie, it's tough.
And that's really important for the radio audience to understand is you can do the best you can. And you can trust God, you can pray, but it doesn't mean that everybody else is trying to pray and trust God. You know, you may be trying to pray and trust God on your own while everybody else is just trying to do what they can to get at you. Because everybody is not listening for God's voice. Everybody's not trying to hear what God has to say. And so that's the challenging part. But we got to keep walking in that light no matter what. I mean, it's very difficult. It's very hard. It's not an easy thing. But God give us the strength. Because right now, I'm really, really struggling right now. And so I just need this Bible study, Brother Nick. So you go on and teach to me because I need it today.
This is Mark. I think this is one of those points where, you know, we talk about faith in God, and faith has to go beyond our feelings. Faith doesn't always say that we're going to feel good, and a lot of times we don't feel good about our situation. You know, somebody's doing this at work. A family member is not doing what they should do. You know, baby girl and sister girl and baby boy is not doing what they should be doing. They're not treating me right, you know, around my community or even if as we look at what's happening around the country, you know, we're not, even as African Americans, we're not treated right or even recognized the way we should. We have a president who is called by his first name versus the president. So even though we have a lot of situations that are nasty. They don't look good. They don't feel good. They don't even seem to have an answer. We have to use our faith that goes beyond what we feel and what we see and know that God has an answer and that God will, can make the situation better.
Amen. Amen. And this evening, go ahead, Britt.
I just wanted to point out some things. I know here in Indianapolis, we're getting more churches that are non-denominational. One of the biggest churches that we have is on the far west side, and it's called the Blended Church. Now, this church started from a little bit of nothing, but now it's becoming one of those super mega churches because people are tired of what one church has, their doctrine versus another church's doctrine, and all, and they're tired of that bickering back and forth, and so they're going places where they don't have to worry about that, where they don't have to worry about your denomination. You don't have to worry about whether it's okay if I go and visit this church because my friend has asked me over here, and then you're going to put me down when I come back to my church. You got those type of things that keep going on, and pretty soon you're going to see the denominational churches shrink to a point that they're almost non-existent while these others are growing. I've always
said this is Eric. Brother Britt, yeah. Well, as I recall, there wasn't but one church when it all started.
Right. But if you remember correctly, these other churches came about because whatever that one church had, people didn't like it, so they went off and formed their own little church. And then
that
church didn't like it, and they formed their own little church. So now we got all these denominations out here. And what good are they doing if they're not serving the community?
They're not doing any good, but they all started because they didn't want to follow what the other people was following.
There you go. See?
You know how we get? I don't want to do that no more. Brother Joe don't need to be in charge. He can't tell me nothing.
Right.
Well,
where
was God in all that nonsense?
Nowhere. None of them even thought about God.
Just like Mark was saying, we need to hear the voice of God, and so often.
Amen.
And I know in the Baptist denomination, I know a lot about Baptist history, and most of the divisions in the Baptist church and the Black Baptist church came because of personality conflicts.
There you go.
But somebody
and it's still
didn't
there
like
because of that.
Yeah, and they formed a publishing board, and the publishing board pulled out from the church because they wanted to make their own money, and this president came in, and they didn't like it, and then you had a more progressive group, and that was Martin Luther King and Jesse Jackson, and they went off and formed the progressive group, then you had the missionary group, then you had the group in Oklahoma, it's crazy, and I think, and that's just the Black Baptist. The White Baptist is, you got the Southern Baptist and American Baptist. They are about as different as you can possibly be.
And Southern Baptists don't want women nowhere. Southern Baptists don't want women nowhere around.
Church and
it's crazy.
Baptists have women all over the place. Yeah, and it's we personalities and it's like when. Are we going to call on God and really go down in prayer and seek direction from God? But we keep on doing things in the flesh. And that's what the point I'm trying to get out of this lesson today is Paul the persecutor. We need to walk in the shoes of Paul because we need to look at ourselves. This is a personal reflection time. You know, what have I done in persecuting others? And how have I been receptive to the voice of God? So
Amen.
We're trying to walk in the shoes of Paul, but we're also trying to look at our own lives because those people are always going to be out there that are doing some crazy things, but what am I going to do about me and my situation, and how can I help to promote the voice of God in this whole situation? So I want us to look at Philippians 3, 1 through 11, and I want us to take another look at that.
And I want to read the first seven verses of it, Philippians 3, 1 through 7. And we can stop there for a while, I think. Somebody have it? If not, I can read it. Can you all hear me?
Go ahead and read it.
Okay, I just want to make sure you can hear me. I've been kind of not being heard tonight. Finally, my brethren, my brothers and sisters, be joyful because you belong to the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write about some important matters to you again. If you know about them, you will have a safe path to follow. Watch out for those dogs. They do evil things. When they circumcise, it is nothing more than a useless cutting of the body. Or as we used to say, you go down a wet devil, you come up, you go down a dry devil, you come up a wet devil. It really wasn't a change.
All right.
But we have been truly circumcised. We worship God by the power of his Spirit. We brag about what Christ Jesus has done. We don't put our trust in our weak human nature. I have many reasons to trust in my human nature. Others may think they have reasons to trust in theirs. But I have even more. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I am part of the people of Israel. I am from the tribe of Benjamin. I am a pure Hebrew. As far as the law is concerned, I am a Pharisee. As far as being committed is concerned, I opposed and attacked the church. As far as keeping the law is concerned, I kept it perfectly. I thought things like that were for my benefit, but now I consider them to be nothing because of Christ.
Amen.
What does that text tell you about the life of Paul before his conversion?
Well, I don't know about what it says about Paul, but y'all have to forgive me, but I just enjoyed him calling them dogs. I'm sorry.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
So I just want y'all to know I'm going to start saying you dog. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Have mercy.
It's all right.
But listen to what Paul says. I have many reasons to trust in my human nature. He said, I was circumcised on the eighth day. He's bragging. I mean, you know, he's not bragging, but he's saying that he has reason to brag, okay? I am part of the people of Israel. I'm a Jew. I am from the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a pure Hebrew. As far as the law is concerned, I am a Pharisee. As far as being committed is concerned, I oppose and attack the church. Now, I think it's interesting that he equates being committed and concerned to opposing and attacking the church.
Well, yeah, this is Eric, and that's what I mean. I mean, he thought that that was the thing that he should have been doing, and to say that he has kept the law perfectly, well, he couldn't have kept the law perfectly. No one could have kept the law perfectly.
Amen. Amen.
You know, so he's putting all his salvation in him and what he's done,
mm-hmm.
according to him. Not according to what God, but according to himself. And
amen.
I think that's what a lot of us do these days is we don't look at what God has ordained and said. We look at what pleases us and think that we have arrived and thus we pat ourselves on the back.
Amen. Amen.
I think it's important to understand that Paul makes it's very clear in the word that Paul is growing. You know, he is maturing as he shares his word. And that's for us to glean that, according to what you just said, Eric, is that as we grow, we begin to understand what it is that we are capable of and what we are not capable of. And when we truly understand that it's nothing but God that gets us up in the morning, it's but God that helps us to do what it takes to keep from calling people dogs and mistreating them, it's just God. and in this situation or circumstances, whether it has nothing to do with the fact that Paul is all of those credentials, and he even says it himself. He says, you know, all those things look good, but the real deal is this. Nothing but Jesus Christ is what helps me do and be all that I am.
Amen.
All right.
And
amen.
That's where
so Paul,
I think we need to stop and think today that, you know, it's, you know, those of us who have credentials, you know, it's they're just that. They're just paper. They're just credentials. Without Christ, we're nothing. You know,
amen.
When Paul was Saul, he was still struggling until he had that relationship with Jesus Christ, which we often talk about. That's what's essential. And I think Brother Mark said it, Brother Eric said it, or says it all the time, and Sean says it. That's what we have to lean on is our relationship that changes
amen.
Us and keeps us.
Amen. But before we have that relationship with God, I think even sometimes during our relationship, I think we slip. I think we fall back. I think we go back and forth because I think we still are warring. In Romans 6 says there's a war going on inside of us. So, I mean, we don't ever escape fully that battle that's going on inside of us. I think that battle can get less sometimes, but still we're warring. There's a war going on inside. I want to ask those that are listening on the line and those participating in the call, what is it that motivates us to act? In the church, and I'd like to look at what motivated Paul before his conversion and what motivated him after his conversion. And I'd just like for those on the line to kind of share that, because I think people that are listening in need to understand the motivations that are in our lives. What is it that really makes us do things? Because I think sometimes we're motivated by the world, by what we think is going to make us look successful to the world, money, positions. But Paul has a different motivation. I think he had that motivation at first, but I'd just like to hear from those on the line.
Dr. Nooks, that's a very interesting question, because I think Paul's motivation in before and after was the same. I mean, before, he really thought that he was pleasing God. He wanted to please God. He wanted to live as a Jew. He wanted to be recognized as a purebred Jew bloodline and following the law. But after his encounter with Christ, all he wanted to do was to please Christ and to please Christ in the way that Christ wanted him pleased. And I think he is the only person that I would say had the same motivation of trying to please God wholeheartedly, but he was misguided in the first piece. He didn't have all the correct information. But after his you know encounter that we'll read about next week, now he had the, as Paul Hart would say, the rest of the story.
Mm-hmm.
He had the rest of the story, and now he began to see clearly. And I think that's what predicated him to write that. In 1 Corinthians 13, when he talks about love, you know, now he sees clearly. You know, Christ has
Amen.
Appeared and said, "Why are you persecuting
All right.
me? You know, who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus Christ, and you're persecuting me, and you need not do that." And so now he gets the rest of the story. And now, you know, for us, I gotta be perfectly honest with you. Sometimes we get motivated by, you know, the fame of our as Dr. Susan said, our credentials, you know, our status in our community, you know, everybody calling our name and, oh, you this and you that, and you this. So we get motivated by money. We get motivated by, you know, people being around us and giving us accolades. And for me right now, audience, I'm just trying to do the best I can to do what the Lord has asked me to do. And I don't get it right all the time and every day.
Amen.
And sometimes during the day I don't get it right, but I know enough. I know enough to ask for forgiveness, and ask the Lord to show me what it is that he would have me to do and to humble me to the point that I can listen and discern. I am always seeking that true wisdom. And in Proverbs, it tells us that the beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord, reverence of the Lord. And I
Amen.
Seek that daily.
Amen.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Brother Eric, but the reality is we don't stay enough in the Word to be able to discern that. I think we so caught up in doing our daily routines that I think sometimes we don't hear. And we don't hear because we don't spend the time. And I can't underestimate enough, overestimate is the word I meant, enough of how we need to stay in the Word connected to God. We were talking about hearing voices earlier. Brother Mark was saying you need to be able to discern the Spirit. Well, you can't discern it if you're not in the Word.
Amen.
This is Eric. I agree. I mean, I agree. And so, you know, you've got to be mindful about setting that time aside in the mornings, in the evenings, you know, middle day. And you know, when you're riding alone, turn down the music and pray and ask for guidance and direction and discernment and understanding. And, you know, and when you're facing something at work, you know, hey, Lord, give me the direction, the right words to say. I told my staff today in our staff meeting, every day I walk into my office, when I walk through the front door, my first thing is, Lord, help us to make good decisions, help us to be able to help the people that we're supposed to help, and help us to do it in a way that pleases you. As I'm walking
Amen.
Through the door of our office, and normally, you know, walking through all the offices, praying over them, because if we don't stay grounded, if we don't stay in the Word, if we don't stay in prayer, devil will eat us alive.
Well, it goes back to what Dr. Nook said, is about the war that's going on. We have two natures within us, you know, the old nature and the new nature, and they're both fighting to be in control, and whichever one you feed is the one that's going to win.
Amen.
So we got to be intentional.
Amen.
Amen.
So we're putting it out to those that are listening in to think about what it is that's motivating you today, and really to think about it. We're trying to get some thought and some reflection going in your lives as we reflect in our own lives and think about what it is that motivates us. And I think God wants us to take time to think about and pray about and get in the Word and try to understand where we are. Because Satan wants us to keep on running 100 miles an hour and never take the time to pray and to reflect and to think about what you're doing. And then we do things automatically. And it's like Paul said, I was doing what I thought was the right thing to do. I was persecuting, and he even says, I persecuted the church unto death. So Paul killed people. And we get going so fast, and we think we're doing the right thing, and God is saying, slow down, wait a minute. You had no business stoning Stephen to death. Now, you know
All right.
that wasn't right. You know it wasn't right crucifying Christ, but the Jewish leaders, the church leaders, did that. So sometimes
but,
we can – go ahead. Somebody want to say something?
I was just saying I don't think they knew it wasn't right. I don't think they
yeah.
knew. I think some people who had the truth knew, but oftentimes it's what you said earlier, Dr. Nix, is that we've got people who are operating with false information or lack of information, and doing so is detrimental. And so all I can say to the radio audience tonight is the way you get the information is to study your Word. You study to show yourself approved. You study to know the character of God. You study to get a clarity about what is right and what is wrong, because there is a right and a wrong.
Amen.
Amen.
Even though we live in a world that wants to say that it's up to you, got your own right. So I don't know.
Okay.
Dr. Susie, I don't know how much time we have, but I just wanted to finish up the Philippians 3 passage and maybe do a couple of verses in another passage. We read down to the 7th verse. We just want to finish out and read to the 11th verse.
Okay.
Even more, I consider everything to be nothing compared to knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. To know him is the best thing of all. Because of him, I have lost everything. But I consider all of it to be garbage so I can get to know Christ. I want to be joined to him. For me, being right with God does not come from the law. It comes because I believe in Christ. It comes from God. It is received by faith. I want to know Christ better. I want to know the power that raised him from the dead. I want to share in his sufferings. I want to become like him by sharing in his death. Then by God's grace, I will rise from the dead.
Amen.
What do those last verses say to you, those last 4 verses?
This is Brett.
I had everything. Go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, he knew that in order for him to complete his salvation, that he had to put himself in a mindset where he could figure out what is the pain that Christ went through and everything that he had to go through in order to save us. I think once he found out what that was and how it felt, that he himself knew what his calling was. See, a lot of times, some of us are brought up in a Christian home and we go to church and stuff, but then when we get grown, we want to get away from that. We want to act like we don't know nothing about it. Sometimes something has to happen to bring you back to where God wants you to be at. And so everything he's gone through has been a personal accounting as to how God is working on him. And each and every one of us have to go through something that only we can go through with God, with Jesus Christ. Once we have that, then we can start building on our faith. Then we can start building on our trust in the Word. That's when we don't trust so much what we think, but we ask God first before we make a move. That way we want to make sure that we are walking down the path that God wants us to walk through.
Amen.
And I think that's what he figured out.
Amen. Paul is saying here that he had everything. You know, he was successful as a Pharisee. He was an emissary of the Sanhedrin Council. He was had political clout and power. He was sent out to persecute those of the way at that time. So he was a person of position and education and power and authority. But then he says it was nothing. You know, all that, and that's, and I think those of us that come to know Christ, you know, Dr. Susie talked earlier about degrees, and you could talk about position, you could talk about money, but all that means nothing. Paul says it was garbage. So what his world was turned upside down, and we want those that are listening in tonight to know that your world will be turned upside down if you walk with Christ. You know, those things that you thought were important, position and money and power, whatever it is, those things are not important. Paul says he would rather, it's much better for him to be in relationship with Christ than to have all those things. Those things didn't mean anything to him. So those that are on the line, what do you want to share with someone that may be listening in tonight about this last part of this text in Philippians 3:1-11?
This is Eric. I guess what I would share with them is that the relationship that will mean the most to you may not be the relationship that you're in now. And until you find a authentic relationship with God, you're really not going to be satisfied. There's going to be something missing.
Amen. 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 And I can testify to that. And it just seemed like, I mean, you go and you accomplish this thing, you accomplish that thing, and then you get there and you realize there's still something missing. Something's not right. I'm still not content, you know. And I agree 100% with you there, Brother Jefferson.
This is Sean. I would say to the listening audience, and my testimony is it's current right now. In the last couple of days, I created a list of areas in my life, and I prayed to God that His will would be done in all of those areas, because that's all that matters is His will. It's not my will or anybody else's. It's all God, because He created me and everything in here. So He finally gave me, or I shouldn't say He finally gave me, I finally came to a place of fully understanding that I won't be content or happy or have peace or health or well-being or any of those things until I'm in His will in all these areas. And so I surrendered those to Him and said, Lord, you know, let Your will be done. And I ran down a list from everything, from family to work to everything. I mean, money, I mean, health, what to eat, exercise, anything, everything, you know, because He knows all those areas that I should be in and what I should be doing. So my point is in saying that is, since then, I've been under attack, to be honest with you. It's been amazing to me. And at first I was really, like, getting hurt. I'm like, what is all this coming from? Because I haven't done anything. And then it occurred to me that I'm asking to be in alignment with God. Well, the devil don't want that. He want me to
Amen.
Get upset. He wants
Amen.
To throw
Amen.
Me off of that. You understand what I'm saying? So my reason for saying this to the listening audience is all that matters is God's will. But understand that when you are in His will, you very well may be persecuted. But you cannot let that, you know, change you. You have to stay focused and faithful and believe and trust Him. And I'm just saying that could be a reality that you may experience, but I think if you stay in prayer and communication with Him, He will protect and provide for you in the midst of all of that.
Sister Sean, Amen. This is Eric. And this is Eric, Sister Sean. Let me say this to the group, too. And if you ask that prayer and you ain't being, and you not being persecuted, you not sincere. Because if you asking to be in God's will, the devil is not going to rest. And if the devil ain't kicking up some dust, then you not sincere about it.
Amen.
Yeah, well, like Dr. Susie said, it ain't easy. But that is, that is
absolutely right. It is not easy.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Dr. Susie, you online now?
I'm online. We're here.
Okay.
We're here.
I didn't know how much time we needed to take, and maybe it's time for prayer requests.
Okay. Can we
praise
thank you, Dr. Nooks. We appreciate the lesson. We're excited, and we're going to close with, I'm going to ask for prayers, reports, and prayer requests. I just want to be the first one to say that, you know, I thank God for taking me through one more day. I'm yet still encountering some challenges, as Sean would say, as persecution, but I am holding on and trusting God, and my outlook is that, you know, great is He who is in me than he who is in the world, and I'm going to keep holding on. I'll keep holding
Amen.
On, and it's not easy.
Amen.
And anybody who thinks it is, you are lying. It is not easy. And if it is easy, as Brother Eric was saying to you, you know, the devil ain't on your back. You know, and it's whenever you're doing for Christ, whenever you're doing that which the Lord has called you to, you will be challenged. And so I just trust God, and I thank God for being able to be on the Bible study line tonight, and I want to offer up a praise report. I don't know if Brother Mark is on the line. Brother Mark, are you on the line?
I'm here. I'm still here.
Did you want to offer a praise report or a prayer request?
Absolutely. Did you want to finish what you were going to say?
No, go ahead. I was opening it up for you. I just wanted to go ahead and give you a praise report.
I want to, one, thank everybody on the prayer line, on Your Place Christian Church, and those who are listening for praying for my health. I went to the doctor last week to get a CAT scan, and today I got the results back, and my doctor said I have no signs of cancer. And so I'm
Amen.
So glad.
Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God, give him all praise and honor and glory. Because it's him. I recognize it's him that has made us, not we ourselves. It's him
my Lord.
That has blessed him, that gives me peace and grace and my thoughts and my mind. It's him that's healed my body. So I truly give all praise to God for
Hallelujah.
For
Thank
this
you,
far.
Lord.
And in a couple of months, we'll have what I call confirmation results to confirm that there's no that not only is this cancer gone, but there is no other cancer. And so I'm thanking God for what he's done, and I'm thanking him for what he's going to do.
Amen.
And so,
Amen.
You know, my prayer is for all of those who've had the same experience, whether it be cancer or some other ailment in their body, because God is a healer.
Amen.
And I really seek him and after him to hear his word, his voice, and his direction. And so I pray that God gives us that anointing, that we are able to hear his voice and to be able to heed his call and that he lead us into the direction that he wants us to go.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother Brent, did you have anything you wanted to share tonight? Or?
Yeah, I too, as everybody knows, went through something like that last week. And I have since talked to my doctor, and they're going to schedule me to go in to have another colonoscopy, and this time they're going to remove all of the little nodes that I have. So we've talked about that, and I just told them, let's do what we got to do. You know, God has blessed me this far. He's going to continue to watch over me. I just want to give a shout out to everybody that I really appreciate all the prayers and people that have called me and talked to me and shared how they have felt about me and the things that I have done for them. And I just thank the Lord for it. And I will be, I'll be flying out of here Thursday, going to Phoenix, and then I'll be in Memphis the following week. And then the week after that in Detroit, and then back here, hopefully, we'll have the surgery scheduled and get ready to do that. So I just want to give God all the praises.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Brad. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody else that's got a praise report? Because God has really been blessing this evening. We thank him, thank him, thank him, thank her, thank God. Amen. Anybody else? Praise report, prayer request. I'll be starting work on October the 1st, so I just ask for prayers for this new opportunity. Are there others who need prayer? I ask you to pray for our country. Brother Eric, would you close us in prayer tonight? If you would pray for our country and the struggle we're having as we're preparing for our elections. It looks as though the polls are saying it's neck and neck, and Donald Trump and some polls are ahead. So we're just asking for prayer as we move forward.
Gracious Father, we are humble servants. We come before you this evening, another opportunity to study your word, another opportunity to get closer to you. We thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for the message that has been brought to us in the study. We thank you that we may realize how Paul thought before the encounter and how he acted after the encounter. And may so it be true with us, Father, that we may draw closer to you. We thank you for the kindness and mercy you've shown in the lives of Mark and Brett and Dr. Susie, and touching their bodies and healing them and preparing their hearts and minds. We know that you are able to go in with the doctors to perform routine surgeries and all. Although we really understand there is no such thing as a routine surgery, we know that you're able to sustain and keep us. We ask that blessing, Father, upon this country and as we prepare for the elections, Father. And it really doesn't matter who wins, Lord, because my understanding and my faith says that you are still in charge. It doesn't matter who it is. But we would ask that you would put the right person at the right time for the right situation. For maybe it's just a time as this, Father, so that we may come to know you as a nation more fully and more understandingly, and to seek and to serve you, Father, while serving others. For it's a mean, cruel world out here, Father. People have given in to the itching ears and their own doctrine and no love for others, caring about themselves, Father, being ruled by money and power, and having no respect, Father, for those who are hurting and those who are suffering.
Yes.
So may we who are called by your name never lose sight of that, never losing sight that we serve you, wanting to be in your will, as Sister Sean said, wanting you to govern our lives. And we know, Father, that when we ask that, that it's not going to be an easy walk. And Christ showed us that. For your own perfect Son, who knew no sin, was mistreated to the point of death, nailed on a cross. But oh, that first day of the week, he got up with all power and glory. You raised him from the dead.
Amen.
You moved the stone so the world could see that he had all power. And he ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand, making intercession for us who are still here on the battlefield, Father.
Amen.
So may your hand be upon us. May your light shine in us. And may we continue to seek to serve and worship, glory, honor you, to do that which you have called us to do, to be a light unto this world. And no light should be hidden in the dark, Father, for the dark cannot comprehend light. Let us all be the light that you made us to be and that you called us to be. We will give you the praise, honor, and glory that we may find a resting place in your home when this day is done, that we will praise, worship, and glorify. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
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 Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.